What did he tell you about my situation?
I mean, not a lot. He said you were out on a quest of vengeance, which is great. Readers love quests of vengeance. Let me just write that down. Jeremiah, right?
Jeremiah Stain.
Oh, yeah. That's a name that's gonna stick with people. I like that.
So my gun probably told you a bit, but essentially, this thing, I can't really describe it. Trying to speak of its existence basically hurts your mind, but it consumed my wife and child.
Ah, they do that.
So I am going on a quest to destroy utterly. I feel a connection to this being, and I'm heading in this general direction, and I aim to basically shoot it dead and possibly save my family because it consumed them and made it part of its essence.
Yeah, that's a classic story. Yes,
is that classic?
I mean, it's really the kind of thing that you know, you just your foundational myths are built out of.
So. I don't know what you're saying, but I'm gonna go with it. So yeah, so I'm off on a, I guess, quest. That's what the gun keeps saying, to destroy this thing and possibly save my family, and which possesses their souls. A thing? I don't know.
It might be. It might be. It's up to the readers to decide, I suppose. All right.
So yeah, so I'm off to destroy it utterly and completely.
That's very admirable.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, 100%. So yeah, and along the way, I just basically try to make a little money on the way by, like, you know.
Yeah, you're no hero. You're
No. I'm here for revenge, 100%. Like, I'm not a savior of the populace or anything like that. I'm here to save my family and, like, kill the thing that. I mean, even if they're dead, like, I want to kill a thing. Like, I'm not a hero.
It's a revenge and vengeance.
Exactly. Yeah, on occasion, maybe, like, save a train.
I mean.
But I don't do that on purpose. Like, happen to be here when the train is in danger, and I have to save them because I'm on the train. Mm-hmm. The train is where all my stuff is.
Right.
I don't want to save the train. But if it happened to be on, train needs to be in danger, I, of course, have to save it.
Gotcha.
And, you know, make sure that everyone is safe on the train, because if everyone's not safe on the train, then I don't get to the train. You know, I have a lot of complicated emotions now that I think about it. Say this out loud.
Yeah, you do, but that's the kind of thing that takes time to discover. The kind of thing that you really need an in-depth investigative journalist to go with you and really get to the bottom of this story here. I think is what we're coming to, and honestly, your friend Cassidy there, he's got a great idea. He's got a great idea. I mean, once people know that there is someone out there chasing down the evil that exists, well, that's the kind of thing that fills people with hope, that makes them want to buy the next issue.
Does it matter if I don't really care if they have hope? I just want to kill this thing.
That's all right. I don't have to put that in the story.
All right, so I just want to be, like, if you choose to follow us on whatever we go to, I want to be 100% honest with you. I will be not responsible for your life. Like, I'm not going to put any effort to saving you. My focus is killing a thing.
No, we've established you're not no hero. It's all right.
All right. So I just want to be sure, like, if a monster shows up, I am not going to spend extra energy to save. Like, if I'm available, I might save you.
But
if I'm busy killing a thing.
Yeah, of course.
I will not care at all if you're dead.
No, just like with the train, or you didn't care about anybody, but you did save them all.
I mean, I had to. I was on the train.
Right.
I could not save the train because I was on the train. If the train didn't exist, I couldn't go through the forest. So I happened to save it. But if you were in danger and I had a good shot of thing to kill my family, I'm gonna go for that, and you'd be dead.
I want
to be 100%. By the way, Jeremiah is fully drunk at this point.
Yeah.
Like I won't say, like, if there was a monster in front of me and you were there, I would just kill the monster and I don't care if you died. But just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
I got it. We got multiple pages here, honestly.
All right. I just want to be sure we're on the same page here. Like, I mean, it's just circumstantial that I saved the train.
I only
saved the train because I was there. Like, I don't care about anybody else on the train.
Gotcha.
I was only there to save myself and make sure that we all survived. I faced I faced a lot of danger. I nearly died to save this train.
Right.
But I don't care about the train. I made sure to save, what was her name again?
Seraphine.
I didn't have to save her. But I just, you know, I was, it was underway.
And Serafina, that's that girl over there.
Yeah. I saved her life because she passed out in front of me. Mm-hmm. Well, as I was heading back, and of course I picked her up because I could not pick her up because that'd be very rude not to pick her up.
No, I inexplicably did not listen to this entire conversation, and I'm now just chiming in. What?
I'm just stating to this individual that I am not a hero. I don't care about anything except our revenge against the creature.
Oh, this is you sober. Oh.
Why? 100%. I don't care about anybody else on the train. I just happen to save people. And I happen to save Serafina. And because I couldn't just leave her there passed out. I had to pick her up. Because honestly, I'd be a bad, let me rephrase. If the entity that I was chasing was there, I would shoot it. But since it wasn't there, why not save a person? Why not? Why wouldn't you save a person if they were there? I mean, philosophically, if you had the energy and you had the time, why not save a person? But I don't care about people. Mm-hmm. But if I had the time and energy, I would save a person. Mm-hmm. But my main focus is of revenge.
Right.
But if my focus of revenge wasn't there, I guess I would save a person. I'm not a hero.
Nope, not at all.
I'm not a hero at all. Nope. But I might save people if they're in the way. So as I was mentioning, I don't care about other people. I just happen to save people on my quest for vengeance.
Got it.
Yeah.
100%. Like other lives don't matter, but if they happen to be in the way of needing to be saving, I will probably save them, but I don't care about other people. But I will save them if they're in the way.
He says that, but he actually has a heart of gold. And
I don't care. I care only for vengeance.
He, on the road to vengeance, he will gladly save lives because
as long as they don't interrupt said quest for vengeance.
And a lot of saving does not interrupt said vengeance.
Unless the being that I want to venge upon is there.
Which has not happened, and so therefore we can't know.
Which is why I'm on a quest for vengeance to find that individual, and then I will kill that individual or entity. Honestly, it's a thing. I don't remember. All I remember is that it consumed my wife and child, and I want it dead and possibly save my family from an existence of perpetual pain.
In one of the most horrifying things I've ever had to say in my existence as a gun, or possibly ever, would you like to follow us to karaoke?
I mean, I'm already here.
All right.
Yep. Time to get drunk again so I can finally officially be free for karaoke.
Jeremiah.
Give me some more Twisted Fates, bartender.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The bartender kind of looks up. Got it. Fernand kind of goes, well, while you all get ready, I'm just going to, I'll be right back. And you see him sort of get up, make a few more notes. And then he's making a beeline in Serafina's general direction to apparently with the full intention of interviewing the girl who currently is on her second, what's the name of the drink? The Twisted?
Twisted Fate.
Yeah, she is on her second Twisted Fate.
Blink.
You blink over. Normally you would have to pull a card, whatever. You blink the required number of times to get there.
Oh, and I tell, don't drink that Serafina is going to be talked to. Blink, blink, blink.
Wait, who do you say that to?
I say that to the slinger here, to Jeremiah.
What do you say?
I say, don't drink that. Serafina is the one about to be talked to.
I have a Twisted Fate right in front of my door. Really?
Who's more important, that drinker or... Blink, blink, blink.
God damn it. And put the drink back down.
I am the weirdest Jiminy Cricket in this fucking universe.
God damn it.
So yeah, you arrive, blink into existence in front of Serafina while Fernand is still making his way and kind of weaving in between seats. So it'll be a minute before he gets there. Mm-hmm. So Serafina was in the middle of drinking her drink. You surprised me. You can do that?
Yeah. Take out one of your Spitfires or what are they called? Take out one of your snapshots. Put it on the table and then put me in the holster.
Okay, isn't Jeremiah going to be upset? People don't like it when they touch their guns.
This guy's going to ask you a bunch of questions and you didn't want to have to answer them.
Wait, which guy? She said, but she's doing as she's doing as yes. which guy? And that's around the time that Fernand just arrives, like, well, hello there, miss. I assume you're, are you Miss Serafina? And so as not to do the voices for two NPCs and have a scene where two NPCs talk to each other.
Which you are known for, by the way.
Which I am known for, and I am trying to avoid. But alas, my NPC was...
acknowledge that, and you're trying to be better.
I will say, though, you are very good at NPC upon NPC combat.
The thing
combat.
Is, like, my NPCs are frankly more interesting than you, so... but no, like, you know, he sets himself to interview her, and... You as the gun, Cassidy. You just had an interview with this guy. He's not asking like ridiculous questions. He is asking some pretty like, you know, he's still like probing. He's trying like see. He's trying to see if he can get more detail from her than he got from you, which is only natural of the events that happened last night. Serafina, for her part. Is very good at playing the ingenue. She is very like
ingenue.
There we go. She's like, yeah, no. I kind of freaked out a little last night when everything was happening, and I rushed down to the woods just to see if I could help, and it was too much. It was just everything around me, and I have a very delicate constitution. So and she explains how she. You know, passed out just within a few minutes, and when she came to again, she was on the train and heard that she was rescued by the slinger and his weird ass gun. She does not hold back on the fact, even though you are in her
right
holster, she's like, and that weird it talks, and I think it teleports. I don't think that's a thing guns can do. This one does, though.
Also,
she says that she takes another drink.
Also, really nasally voice, like annoying. Like, not like a sultry, nice voice. Like, not like an Antonio Banderas. More like a he should be singing for a Weezer cover band at a bar in the Midwest kind of voice. So, I mean, like, every time, like, it's weird that the gun talks, but also it's. Also creepy that the gun talk. I feel like the gun needs a fedora, is what I'm saying.
And as this person is talking to Serafina and the gun from the distance here, and I'm here to finding my targets. As Jeremiah starts to sing karaoke.
So that's happening in the background. The muse, who has stepped off stage a couple of minutes ago, has picked up her things. She just kind of looks up as Jeremiah begins to sing. Her expression just blank deadpan, kind of nods, and starts heading out of the dining room.
There's only so much. Healing you can do.
She's like, my work here is done.
It's been a while since I first.
I can
held
do
a gun up close.
and so as the muse Sarah leaves the dining room, Jeremiah, you continue your performance. Argus is still Argus, right? Is it
Argus?
Yeah,
Argus.
The short,
Argus,
dwarf.
Yeah,
short king.
Because
yes.
If he was a dwarf, he'd be Angus. He's not a dwarf, so he's Argus.
Yeah.
Argus, you notice it is still there on the front row, looking at you as fixedly and as intently as he was looking at Sarah. You don't know if he's enjoying your performance or hates it with the fire of 1,000 dwarven forges or not dwarven forges. It's just normal forges. Absolutely normal. Why are you asking me about the forges?
I remember.
My forge is not dwarven t-shirt is raising a lot of questions that I believe are answered by my forge is not dwarven t-shirt. Anyway, but yeah, he is still still watching you and your, for lack of a better term, performance.
Yeah.
As the interview at the bar continues, and Cassidy, so you notice that for her part, Seraphine is, she is clearly drunk. She is again. Well, 90 pounds soaking wet, in her second twisted fate. But you are on alert, right? You came here to make sure, like, oh, she doesn't let anything slip, you know, and everything. You don't really have much to do. She sticks to her story very well. There are points at which, especially when she's kind of like being a little bit more free and she kind of like, you know, making like kind of fun of you specifically because talking
right
gun.
Because
yep. you're right there talking gun.
So she's
gun.
Kind of like taking a dig and I appreciate that.
A little bit,
that.
A little bit. And so
because
there's
like a scene. At least somebody's talking about me, you know?
Yeah. And so there is a moment where she seems about to mention something about teeth. You can see that she's leading up to the topic. And then you kind of like notice that she stops herself because if she knew about the teeth, that means she would have seen you shooting and everything happened. And she, no, her story is that she saw nothing. She was like 50 feet away from the train when she passed out. So you notice that she catches herself. You can't really tell, although if you want to like make this a check, you can, but you can't immediately tell whether the reporter notices her catching herself.
Oh, fuck yes, I do.
All right, so that's
because,
definitely...
teeth is my bullets.
Yeah, so...
By the way, teeth also is what Jesus' character opened into, but also,
yep.
like, he pulls teeth out of his body.
Right, yeah.
To, like, load my gun. Like,
yep.
I am a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Which she would not know unless she had seen you in action
yep.
out there.
Yep.
So, if you want to see whether the reporter caught on to that, that's definitely going to be a check.
Oh, I would love to. Let's
okay.
do this.
All right. So it's a check. You need to ask either myself or Jesus to go fish. And you have at least one pair in front of you already.
Okay. All right. So, right now I'm holding three cards in front of me because
mm-hmm.
I've already got a pair
yep, yep.
on the table. So, Jesus.
Yes.
Do you have a six?
I do not have a six.
Go fish. So you draw one card from the deck. If you have any pairs that you can make, go ahead and make them.
Okay.
Otherwise, so this guy is a professional reporter. He knows what he's doing and he knows how to interview. So this is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficulty 8.
David, do you need help?
Yes.
So you are not currently with the guy. But I will allow you to help. Tell me how, like, what? Jeremiah. So you're not. You haven't been able to get as drunk because this is all happening fairly quickly. So
mm-hmm.
you are on stage. You probably had like a drink to like just get
yeah.
yourself on the stage. But you're not drunk enough that you wouldn't notice what's happening. And you do have that, like, you know, that psychic connection with the gun. So you probably like at least get a little spidey, like, oh, the gun is worried. So how would you assist on this?
High pitch drunken note, like just distracting, like what the from the
kind of thing that would draw attention.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah, distract. All right. So, the distraction might hopefully break the reporter sort of like stride a little,
mm-hmm.
may possibly allowing you to. So yes, you are allowed to assist, and
okay.
you assist by laying down one, just giving Dave a single from
your
hand.
I need to know what.
Oh yeah, no, I said the difficulty is 8.
Okay, what do you got?
You don't get to know.
I think you do.
Not technically for this. No, you can.
No.
You basically you assist with what you have. But like
okay, so
yeah,
like the fact that he is asking for assistance means he definitely can't meet an.
So
eight.
He needs an 8.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he can't afford an 8 right now
yeah.
for an 8 pair.
Right.
Would a 2 help you?
I can't answer.
You can't answer
question.
That question.
Nope. I cannot.
Nah, fuck it. I'm gonna give you an 8 because I don't want to take any chance.
All right. Yeah. So lay that down. So
right.
reveal
so
your
7, 8.
Yeah. So that definitely that definitely
works.
Succeeds.
That works.
Okay.
All right.
So yeah, you do notice that. So at first, when she kind of slips up, you don't see like the reporter doesn't even like his writing doesn't even pause. Like he doesn't seem to react or anything. He's just kind of like, you know, taking notes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as she kind of catches herself and goes back to just, you know, just talking about how woozy she felt this morning and whatnot. At first glance, anybody else watching, he never noticed her slip up. You, however, especially when that high note hits, And he kind of...
Because I've heard him sing so many times.
Everything I can remember.
On the back of our goddamn junk horse.
So when that happens, he actually like kind of startles, looks up and glances over. As he does glance over at the stage, he kind of accidentally tilts his notepad in your direction. Just enough that you're able to... Since you were, in fact, observing before, you kind of have an idea for what his handwriting looks like. And you definitely see the words hiding something from, you know, like in the words. You can't make out much else, but you, like, yeah, it sounds like he definitely caught, like, something from her. He might not, doesn't look like he caught anything specific, but he is now like, oh, she's hiding something. She's not giving me the full story.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yep, perfect.
So what do we do with these cards, these spent cards?
So the ones that are spent, yes, those are discarded. Oh, sorry. So just put them in a discard pile over there. Beautiful. Okay. All right. So yeah, so you notice this.
So in the next pull, I only have four cards.
You only redraw when you are out of cards. So even if you are down to like one card, well, that's the one card in your hand. The moment that one last card goes, then you redraw three. You don't redraw back to you'd redraw mm-hmm. three.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Otherwise, the only real way to get more cards is to take actions and go fishing.
Cool.
Basically.
Got it. All right.
So yeah, you notice that as soon as like the moment passes, he goes, wow, he's got a set of pipes on him, that one. Not necessarily well-tuned pipes, but pipes.
No, I don't answer.
Yeah, you've been like quiet in mm-hmm. the holster all this time. You do know he sees you. Like you are. It is hard to hide you. Like,
because I'm just made of flesh.
Exactly. You look like you're made
chrome.
Of flesh. Yeah. Exactly.
Flesh and chrome.
Exactly. So even in a holster, there's like just flesh spilling out of a holster. Like yep. you know, you are hard to hide unless somebody's making an effort. So he knows you're in her
yep.
holster. So you know, and given that he, you know, from what you're, you know, you spent a lot of points. So I'll give you a little bit more in that you can tell this guy's sharp. Like, despite the fact that he's definitely not like, he didn't seem like he was putting on an act when he was like holding you and like accidentally thumbing the trigger. Like, this guy is clearly not a combatant. He did not know really how to use a gun or anything. Like, he, you know, gun safety was not a concept for him. But he's not dumb.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's dumb at everything.
Exactly, like, exactly.
Just because you can't handle a gun in a goddamn Western exactly. doesn't mean that you are incompetent.
So you definitely get that impression from him that not only did he, like, catch the slip up from Serafina, even though he doesn't seem to be pushing it, he's just kind of like making a note and like, all right, cool. But between that and like that kind of solidifies the impression that you'd already been getting that, like, yeah, this guy himself might be like putting on a little bit of an act, but it doesn't strike you as necessarily sinister. It's more like, yeah, he's a reporter. Part of his thing is like kind of like make himself, you know, like easy to talk to. And mm-hmm. if he's a little goofy and a little silly and not terribly intimidating, then people are going to open up a little bit more. So you definitely get that from him.
Okay.
Other than that, the interview kind of continues. He asks a few more questions. So once he notices that she doesn't really have much more that she's willing to say, he was like, well, it was great. And again, Serafina, would you mind if I talk to the rest of your team at some point? Oh, it's getting late. And honestly, like, nah, but you think they'd be up for an interview? And she's like, I mean, you can ask them. I know Morano's probably, she'd be willing to talk. I don't know about the rest of them. Sephir probably wouldn't talk unless you buy him a drink. And Argus, I mean, Argus, once you get him going, he won't shut up. But the problem is getting him going. And yeah, the conversation kind of starts winding down at that point. And Fernand doesn't seem to be about to go interview the rest of the mercs. So he's like, yeah, it starts to wind down. Meanwhile, Jeremiah, you are hopefully finishing your performance.
I'm about done. I finished my grand performance, and I'm sure many people are appreciative of it ending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you step off the stage, a couple of people, you get a couple of very polite, or like, yeah, kind of like a little bit of like. I guess you had the guts to be on stage.
you were here.
Yeah, you
and were here. And full on, like, Jeremiah is not stupid. He knows he's He's bad.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to just let it out. And
oh, yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah.
100%. No,
it's out there. Oh, it's out there, buddy.
Yeah, 100%.
And with the end of that performance, with the end of that performance, unless you guys are going to do anything else specific, we're going to kind of start winding down the night.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I'm assuming you're silenced because you don't have anything more terribly specific.
No, we compare notes. We go back to the cabin.
The night winds up. Again, unless you had something.
No, I was like, so are you sure this guy should follow us for whatever we're doing?
Honestly, not at all. But what's the alternative?
Not him following us?
You conduct your mission in complete silence, so the next person who comes after you has nothing to go on?
Why should I care about what other people go on? This is my personal mission, to kill this thing. Why should I care about what other people think? Or do behind me?
What's, sorry, you've never heard of Robin Hood then?
A what?
Robin Hood.
Who?
Snow White?
Huh?
John Wick.
Eh?
John Wick.
Oh, from the, oh yeah, I remember
the dog.
Oh, right, the ancient story of the man over the range. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, that was my poppy used to tell me about that story of how the guy killed his dog and he went on a revenge spree. That was a good tale. Yeah.
You want to be the next John Wick?
I would love to be the next John Wick. He killed so many people.
That's not the part I was going for.
Killed so many people so efficiently. He was a murderer supreme. But all good, but he was a good guy because he killed the right people.
What about the old stories about Jason Bourne?
Oh, Bourne, the super spy, right.
Yeah, he didn't kill a lot of people, just the right ones.
So what you're trying to say is having this person follow me makes sure I kill the right people.
I'm just saying that maybe people who had their loved ones taken by something from this awful world could hear a story about somebody trying to make it right. And that could be your story.
But here's a question I have for you. Why should I care?
Same reason I do. And if you have a problem with that, well, shucks. What's going to happen next time you reach into an empty holster?
That sounds like a threat.
No. Jeremiah, I'm a gun.
We've established that.
I don't make threats. Because threats involve fear, and fear involves uncertainty. I make promises. Jeremiah, I believe in what you're doing. I do. I think that I just question if you do too.
Question if I do? I'm here to kill the thing that took my family. What sort of question could there be?
Because you don't want anyone to know. You're afraid of people understanding why you do this. And I know it's contradictory to what I said before, because I was worried about people, you know, coming at us. The bounties and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've turned around because we saved a person.
It's technically circumstantial, but yes.
Fuck you, Jeremiah, you coward. Mm. You fucking coward. You are lying to the person that was there.
Yes, okay, fine. I would have felt bad if we didn't save her. You happy?
No, and neither are you. We're not happy. We're not happy. But we're a little less miserable.
Listen, I'm happy that Serafina is alive because she helped us out, and I want to make sure she doesn't suffer, and I want to make sure that we don't tell her secret because she's uncomfortable with that.
And you slept the best you slept I've ever seen you sleep.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, I was awake the entire ass time. I got so bored waiting for you to wake up screaming with one of your night terrors that I went around the entire train. I learned some stuff, mostly useless, but I mean, some of it kind of fun. But when I came back hours later, you were still asleep. I'm not saying it's a great idea. I am saying that we're both miserable. And maybe helping other people on your path towards revenge, that's going to help us. Because it makes us less miserable. And this idiot who's going to write about us, by the way, for a paper that might not exist.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, you said he worked for Allpath. Isn't Allpath destroyed? That's
weird.
Oh, it's
gone.
The hell is he still writing? Shouldn't he like find a new job or something?
Yeah,
or
it's crazy when somebody is on a path that is futile.
I don't know what you're going for, and I'm refusing to listen.
All I need you to do is listen with your heart.
Could you just stop being reasonable? Okay, fine. We'll let this guy follow us. And yes, I would have felt bad if Serafina, like, was dead on a road somewhere. She saved us. She helped us out. And I'm the type of person that owes favors back. And I return the favor.
And I'm the kind of gun who understands when he was wrong.
And if that ever happens, I'll let you know.
And if doing what we do, getting back at least the revenge of what happened to your family, and on the way, if doing the right thing and helping people, if that gets us bounties. I think the reason I brought it up wasn't because I was scared, but it's because I know that's what might happen. And if that happens, I'm not saying we'll kill people, but you'll always be able to draw me from your holster.
Fair enough. All right. So, future plans. We let this guy follow us on our path of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We feel justified in killing people that get in our way. Who are bad, technically.
We feel justified getting rid of them.
Yes.
In different ways, maybe not killing them, because who knows?
Killing them would be much simpler.
Jeremiah, you've been knocked out in so many fights, you should be dead.
But someone keeps bringing me back to life.
I saved you from being literally drowned in a puddle of mud.
Thank for that, by the way. I really appreciate it.
I'm just saying.
Fine. We follow this guy. We try to go on the road for vengeance, but we make sure to save the little person.
Sure.
All right.
That's fine.
Okay.
Not talking about the dwarf in front of the stage.
No, we're not talking about Argus. Just a little in more metaphorical sense, not literal sense.
He's weird.
He is very tiny. Very tiny, but very tough man.
Have you stared into his eyes?
That you'd fall into them.
All right, Dan. Okay.
And so the night ends with this conversation. The slinger goes to bed, and the gun does what the gun does all night, which is kind of be creepy. Teleport around, creeping on people. He says he's learning about humanity. I say he doesn't necessarily need to learn in the girls' bathroom, but hey.
I'm just appearing next to people's pillows like.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out,
oh my
breathing.
God. Yeah. Doing the Gavin Rosdale.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the night passes. Once again, Slinger, you sleep fairly well.
Honestly, these two nights have been fairly surprisingly calm. Like the gun was kind of joking, but like I do mostly wake up screaming. This time I'm actually screamed, not screamed, but like slept pretty well these last couple of nights.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that that this time is scream free, because as the sun rises and the morning arrives on the next day, the stillness of the morning, which by now would normally be filled only with the sounds of the train itself, which after a couple of days you kind of drown out, but the stillness of the morning is shattered and broken as a scream can be heard echoing down the halls, and loud enough that even inside your cabin you can hear it, and it wakes you up. It is a shrill female scream.
I rush out the door.
Yeah, you wake up, you rush out, whether you grab the gun or it goes with you.
I'm assuming the gun teleports into my holster.
Oh, yeah. No, into your hand.
Yeah. Into my hand.
And as you exit your cabin, you hear the scream again. It sounds panicked, sounds scared, and it sounds like it's coming from the Merc quarters.
Running there.
You rush over. Some people are starting to open their cabin doors as well, like asking what's going on, what's going on. You rush past them. You open the door to the car where the Mercs are riding, and as you go in, you see that the doors to the various Merc cabins are open, all four, and you see Seraphina standing in front of the door to Argus's room, and she is paler than ever. Her hands are at her mouth, like trying to cover you. She's hyperventilating. She clearly, the screams came from her. And just as you enter, Morana and Sefer are coming out of their rooms, also in a panic, also like weapons out, ready, like trying to figure out what's going on. And they converge on Argus's the door to Argus's room. I assume you continue also. Yes. Approaching. So as you all pretty much arrive, like they arrive like a fraction of a second before you do, because they were closer. But as soon as you arrive, Seraphina turns and she kind of like buries herself in Morana's arms, like trying to hide herself and sobbing. And you see in Argus's room a disaster. You see a corpse. You see the body of Argus on the bed. There is blood everywhere in the compartment, as if there had been a burst, an explosion. And it's not hard to see from where. His chest. He's still, by the way, fully clad in armor. Apparently he slept in that thing. Mm-hmm. And that leather armor and the skin and bone beneath it over his heart has been ripped open. It is punched outwards, much like the side of the train was punched outwards when your steed rushed out of it. Mm-hmm. And you can just see a gaping, bleeding hole where his heart should be. No sign of a heart, but the walls are just coated in blood. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Dude, I love this.
Oh, it was great.
I fucking love this.
Yep.
I'm glad you enjoyed. I had to introduce a few new characters and set everything up for for y'all wanted more train stuff. I'm going to give you a train murder mystery. And because if you're on a train, you need a murder mystery.
Yes, we goddamn do.
Oh, yeah. And the guy lost a heart, which we established are fundamental in this universe.
Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot that.
Hearts are important.
Yes. Hearts, illustration of hearts, actual physical hearts, animal hearts. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
I forgot that. Mm-hmm. Well done, Nate.
Well done.
Well
yes.
done, Dan.
Glad you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we'll continue this soon, but probably not next week, because next week we're going to be at a con. Mm-hmm. This will not air before that con. Otherwise, I would say, like, if you're at Dreamation 2024, feel free to look us up. If you are somehow a time traveler or hiding in this room right now as we speak, please. Otherwise, thank you for listening. We will have more of this coming soon, because I literally just killed one of my NPCs, and I want that to matter.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sad you killed the dwarf NPC, but it's fine.
Not a dwarf.
Close a enough.
Do you have a question for the
Do I? I don't know.
I would say this. What are the three songs, modern day songs, that you think the muse would have played on the rocks of
because
her
that's the thing. In character, these are just mysterious songs from a distant past.
Yeah.
In for us, it's this is fucking Toxic by Britney Spears. I'm Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage.
Yeah, 100%.
And definitely
why are we singing that like fast, like it's the Mario song, like
anyway, those are my options. So please, listeners, give us what you think. Yeah, what you think Sarah's
take on me is what we're
take on me.
Take on me.
So please tell us what you think Sarah's set was like.
Yes, that's a question. Yes.
But yes, thank you so much for listening. Jesus, Dave, thank you so much for playing.
Of course.
We will soon be back.
Oh, 100%. Huge fan of everything.
Good.
Bye. There you go.
There you go.
All right.